Well, if you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. That is where we're going to start this morning. Today's Sunday, June 1, 2025. We're starting in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Next Sunday, as I mentioned earlier, is Pentecost. And 8 days before Pentecost is when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after having been here on the earth for 40 days in his resurrected body. We're going to read that record of his ascension this morning. Before we do, we're going to read a few scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 15. But we're going to start in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Looks like they heard this before. So he's writing, so he said, I preached this to you before, so I guess we would call this repetition. We talked about this for a couple of weeks at one time, didn't we? How important it is to review, repeat. And there's many places in the scriptures where it says, you know, I told you this before. So he obviously preached this before to them, and now he's writing to them to remind them of something they've heard before. Verse 2 says, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. That's a little difficult to understand. Reverend Cummins, in his wonderful work on Acts and the journey of Acts and the epistles, has it translated this way. And by which you are saved, meaning what Paul had preached to them. With what word did I proclaim the gospel to you? You will remember if you are holding it fast in memory, unless, of course, you believe for no reason. Goes on in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. Now, this little detail is important when we get to Acts chapter 1, okay? So we'll remember that in 1 Corinthians here it says that Jesus Christ in his resurrected body was seen of the 12. Verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. What a cool meeting that would have been at. I'd have loved to have been there. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also. Remember the road to Damascus? As of one born out of due time, for I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's true for you and me. By the grace of God, we are who we are. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And we talked recently a lot about God's wonderful grace. Look at the humility that this man had. With all the great revelation that he received from God, he was still very humble. He recognized that it was all by God's grace. And verse 11 says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. It's not important who speaks God's word. What's important is that God's word gets spoken, that his word is preached. Remember the first part of 1 Corinthians? They had a bit of a problem. I like Paul. Oh, he's so great. No, I like Peter, man. I'd love to hear. No, I like Apollos. And they were reproved for doing that sort of thing, having divisions and strifes. And this is beautiful here. It doesn't matter who preaches, as long as it gets preached. So now we go to, after looking at this, let's go to Acts chapter 1 to read the record of the ascension of Jesus Christ. You probably know that the Gospel of Luke concludes with the ascension of Jesus Christ. And Luke, of course, wrote the book of Acts. So with that in mind, we begin in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise, that's what Luke wrote, the gospel. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Spirit, it says Holy Ghost, but I think you know the word ghost and spirit in King James is the same Greek word, so it just keeps it a little more easier to know what you're talking about. That after that, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Well, how many did he choose? 12. Yep, he chose 12. And this agrees with what we just read in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says that he was seen of the 12 and of all the apostles. Verse 3, to whom, and now we got to keep our pronouns straight here, we just talked about commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, that would be the apostles he'd chosen, 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, we're still talking about the apostles that he chose, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. There's a number of records in the Gospels, especially the records in the records of the Last Supper and other places too, where Jesus Christ talked to them about coming, the coming of Holy Spirit. He referred to it sometimes as the Comforter. He referred to it other times as the promise of the Father. And then here in this record, he went on to clarify it a little more. Verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. During that time, he was with them, even before he was crucified. He talked to them about Holy Spirit is coming. Promise of the Father, the Comforter. Now he's been with them 40 days, and after this 40 days, he's with them and says, it's coming in a few days. Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Now in Matthew, Mark, and John's gospel, John the Baptist himself told the people he was baptizing with water, but the baptism of Holy Spirit was coming. In you don't need to turn there, but Mark 1:8 says, John the Baptist said in Mark 1:8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ said the same thing that John the Baptist said. Verse 5 again, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Verse 6, when they, we're still talking about the apostles whom he chose, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Very human. It's like people today, some people today, and really through the centuries. Is this the end times? This must be the end times. It's really important as a student of the Bible to keep in mind that the end times that Jesus Christ spoke about in the Gospels, and he spoke very clearly, those refer to the time of judgment. And that time of judgment is going to happen after the gathering together. We read about the gathering together in 1 Thessalonians 4. There'll be a shout, trumpet, dead in Christ shall rise, and then it says we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the, what we refer to as the gathering together. And it's also covered in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter we were in, by the way, where it talks about those that have corrupted must put on incorruptibility, those that are mortal put on immortality. It's going to happen in the blink of an eye, the twinkle of an eye, it says. That's the gathering together. But what Jesus Christ talked about in the Gospels referred to the time of judgments, and that's going to happen after the gathering together. You know what's interesting? Why did Jesus Christ never once mention the gathering together? And even on this day of the ascension, he did not mention it. He never talked about, when I come back, you're going to meet me in the clouds. The reason he never ever spoke about it is because the gathering together is part of the great mystery that was not revealed to anyone. The Bible says God kept it secret until it was first revealed to the Apostle Paul. You know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the time period that we are living in now. We talked about throughout the Bible, there are different time periods. You know, we're not living in the garden, obviously. Be nice if we were, but we're not. That time period, those rules, regulations, that whole thing that God set up, no longer. We're not living under the law administration, you know, where three times a year we need to go to Jerusalem for those feasts. We're not living then. The time period that we're living in now, according to the New Testament scriptures, is what God refers to as the administration of the grace of God and the administration of the mystery, this big secret that God kept hidden all that time. Sometimes people say, well, I see the signs that Jesus talked about. Man, we're getting really close now. Ask them, when they say that, what did Jesus not talk about? The gathering together, because it was still a secret until Paul got it. So let's read verse 6 again. And when they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. In other words, stop worrying about that. And then he got right back to what he was talking about, the coming of Holy Spirit. But, verse 8, you're going to receive power after that, or when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then look at this, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That must have been kind of mind-blowing. They had seen Jesus do a lot of amazing things, right? They'd seen him walk on the water, saw him multiply loaves and fishes, heal people, raise the dead. And now he's talking to them, and when he finished saying these words that we just read, up he went. That had to be astounding, right? It's very important that those were his last words that he said. Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father that I told you about. John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit in just a few days. You're going to receive power after or when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You're going to be witnesses to the whole world. And then up he went. It was the last thing he told them. And verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, I'm sure mouths were open. Now, if you were there and that happened, what would you do? You'd be looking, maybe doing that. I mean, think about it. If we went outside after this fellowship, we're out there talking, and then Jose just floated up. We'd be just looking.
What?
That's what they were doing. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now let's stop for a minute and consider a few things. The angel said, you men of Galilee. Something dramatic happened between the time that Jesus went up and the angel spoke. Judas was the only one of the 12 that was not a Galilean. Judas Iscariot. Iscar referring to, I think it's Kyrios. He was not a Galilean. The angel said, you men of Galilee. Well, the context that we've just read here in Acts 1 clearly shows it's Jesus and the apostles whom he had chosen, right? 1 Corinthians 15 says he appeared to the 12. He was seen of all the apostles, it said in 1 Corinthians 15. On this day, the context shows us that Jesus was clearly with the 12 whom he had chosen. But suddenly, now, you Galileans, sometimes when you look closely at the scriptures and God's word, it kind of hits head on with tradition. Because tradition has always taught us Judas brought the silver back and then he went and killed himself. If you keep your finger here, we're going to look at Matthew 27. There's two main reasons why tradition holds that Judas killed himself shortly after he betrayed Jesus Christ. And one of the big reasons is because of Matthew 27. Here's the great thing about Bible students. The Bible cannot have any contradictions because we know and believe that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was, as it says in Timothy, God breathed. God told them what to write. And when we rightly understand what's written, we have the truth. There can't be any contradictions. So serious Bible students, we know that, and we look for the truth. Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? Who cares? See thou to that. Run along, sonny. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, threw it down. And then the scripture says, and departed, and went and hanged himself. Bible scholars note that in a number of places in the Gospel of Matthew, at times things are not linked sequentially, chronologically, you know, regarding time. But rather, there are times in Matthew's gospel where they are linked in terms of relationships or topics, logical relationships. And here, the focus is not talking about sequential or chronological time. It's referring to, and the focus is on Judas and his actions. And furthermore, it doesn't say there in Matthew that he went out immediately and killed himself. So, in order for us to get to the answers, we got to put all the pieces on the table. You can't just say, well, see, there he just went and killed himself. Well, yeah, but what about, no, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, but Corinthians, I don't want to talk about that. It all has to fit. There's other places in Matthew where one I know right offhand is, remember when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? Yeah. If you compare Matthew's gospel with Luke, the timing doesn't look right. That's because Matthew was not concerned with chronologically, this is how it goes, just how it goes. Matthew in places just groups things differently. Why? Because that's what God told him to write. Another reason that tradition holds that Judas killed himself right after he threw the piece of silver down is because on the day that Jesus Christ appeared, it says he appeared to the 11. Ah, 11. Now we know who was missing. Judas killed himself. But if you put all the pieces together, you find out it wasn't Judas, it was Thomas, right? Because that other record, 8 days later, Jesus appeared to him and Thomas was with them. So the first one doesn't say he appeared to 10, but to 11. And we find out who was missing. It was Thomas. Meanwhile, what we've been reading here in Acts 1, you can go back to Acts 1 if you would. You have to put all the pieces together on a topic if you want to do honest biblical study. You have to. Judas was with the other 11 for those 40 days. He was there on the day of the ascension, according to Acts 1. Isn't that amazing? But when the angels showed up and addressed those standing there with their mouths open, wishing they had binoculars, they said, "Ye men of Galilee." Judas had abruptly left. And shortly after that is when he killed himself. We're not going to read it, but if you read the rest of the record in the book of Acts, it says in those days, Peter said, "Hey, we need to get a replacement for Judas." That indicates that Judas's absence was rather recent, doesn't it? It sure it does. And here's something else to think about. Who originally picked the 12? Jesus Christ did, right? He picked them. He picked the 12. If Judas wasn't around during those 40 days that Jesus Christ walked, ministered, did a meeting with 500 people, if Judas wasn't around during that time, why didn't Jesus Christ pick a replacement? Good question, right? So there's no contradiction. We just have to put all the pieces together. And here's a little sidebar on this. We often talk about how loving Jesus Christ was at the Last Supper when he gave the sop to Judas. And that's in the Bible culture, the sop means a dip. So they had a common dish. You would take your bread and then you would dip it in there and eat. If you were to dip into that common dish and give it to someone, it showed great love, reverence, and respect for that person. Jesus did that to Judas knowing he was about to betray him. So we often talk about how loving Jesus Christ was, right? But allowing Judas to be with him after he's resurrected, allowing Judas to be with the 11, not excluding him. "You don't belong here anymore. You betrayed me. Get out of here." Isn't that mind-blowing? For 40 days. And we Christians sometimes have a real problem forgiving someone. Jesus Christ set the bar for love and forgiveness very high, didn't he? And so if we're going to call ourselves followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to do our best to follow his example of love and forgiveness. So anyway, back to Acts chapter 1, verse 10. "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" He is coming back. Great hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. How is he coming back? What did they say? "In like manner as you have seen him go." How did they see him go? It says, "From you into heaven." Where were they? They were standing on earth. Jesus Christ went from earth to heaven. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The angels did not say, he is coming back to gather you together and you will meet him in the clouds, which is what Thessalonians tells us when he returns, right? When he returns for us to gather us together, he's not coming to the earth to grab us all, give us a big hug, and then it says we're going to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be. The angels did not know the mystery. It was still a secret. Even they didn't know it. Isn't that something? So Jesus Christ is going to come back the way he left earth to the clouds. He is coming back to the earth for judgment time. And that's going to happen after we get gathered together and meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a great hope we have to look forward to. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, that we've been delivered from the wrath, the judgments to come. We get gathered together. What a great day that's going to be for us, and what a great day of confusion that's going to be for the rest of the world. You know, it's like Jose prayed, people need to get born again and get saved so they can be in the party. Because when that bus leaves, it's gone. Praise the Lord. So in closing, one of the most important things I think to see in this record in Acts 1 of the Ascension is the very last thing Jesus Christ spoke before he ascended. His very last words, that in just a few days, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The promise of the Father, it's coming. You're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit in just a few days. And indeed they did, right? And we're going to read that probably next Sunday in Acts chapter 2. 8 days later came the day of Pentecost. And there are people who say, well, yeah, what happened on Pentecost, that was just for those apostles. And yet, what did Peter preach on that day? The promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That Holy Spirit is now available to anyone and everyone who gets born again. On this day of the Ascension, 8 days before Pentecost, in my goofy mind, it's kind of like in heaven there was a drum roll. You know how they do the drum roll on big productions right before something, and now announcing, and they do a big drum roll. It's kind of like that on the day of the Ascension, 8 days later. So it's a long drum roll, like eight-day drum roll. But oh my goodness. And the reason being is because the relationship of God and mankind was about to have a very dramatic change. And that very dramatic change happened on the day of Pentecost. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word and our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're so grateful, Father, to know that the promise, your promise, the Comforter, the gift of Holy Spirit, was finally made available, and it's still available today to those who believe. Thank you for giving us such great information in your word, and Father, for the hope that we have, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and we were going to meet him in the clouds, and you said in your word, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a great hope we have to look forward to, and until that day, may we be grateful and thankful for all that he's accomplished for us, all that we have available, the privilege we have to share the good news with others. Father, until that great day comes, may we just rejoice in the hope that we have. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.